Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, it has been another crazy week, another hectic week, another scary week, and some good things happened too. If you wish to call in, by the way, while I'm talking about all the activity that took place this week, the call-in number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, and it's on the screen in front of you, 646-478-5731. I am happy to hear from you. I want to start off tonight with Ebola. And the reason why is because that's all you hear about on television the last few days is Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. 90% of the news coming through the media, TV, radio, is Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. The fear of God is being put into us. It's like this terrible thing is going to befall us, the black plague from the skies, and thousands of people are going to be infected and die. And we've only had two cases. Ebola has been around since the 1970s. It's been very bad the last 3-4 years in West Africa, where already 4,000 people have died, and well over 10,000 are very ill, and it's anticipated more will be ill. We have only had two cases in the United States, and everybody's panicking, and they're panicking, and we are being made to panic by the media. Don't they have anything else to talk about? What happened to ISIS? What happened to the war that's being waged over in Iraq and Syria? What's happening in the rest of the world? Get off this kick, TV people. Get off this kick, media people. You're playing it too much. It's wrong. And then the politicians are the same way. John McCain. I love John McCain. I respect John McCain. But sometimes he's crazy. He wants an Ebola czar to make sure we protect the people in this country. An Ebola czar. Now, here's a Republican who wants small government. He wants to save money. He wants an Ebola czar. We do not need an Ebola czar in this country. We have an operation, a federal agency in Atlanta, Georgia, called the Contagious Disease Center. Let me tell you something. The CDC, in Atlanta is top shelf first class. I went there on 3 separate occasions for 5 days at a time. I was an environmental attorney, as you recall, in the other world, in my other life, and I had to go there because, you know, some bad things in the environment, in the water or in the soil, kills people or makes them terribly ill. And there were cases involving streams that I was involved in that had been contaminated and people were ill, and I had to go down to Atlanta to see what the records showed there. Very impressive, my friends. One of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's like a college campus. They're all pros. This is their headache, and so far they seem to be handling it well. That from what I see on TV, this poor guy who's the head of the agency, they have him on TV most of the day answering questions. He's not a PR man. He's supposed to be working. This thing's out of control. Leave it alone. It's being taken care of. Then the nurses come out, a nurses union out of San Francisco or someplace in California. We want better protection for our nurses. Well, we haven't had this Ebola problem before, and whatever has to be done is being done, and whatever problems have occurred are being resolved. This is the first time here. Now you say, well, we should have been ready for this. There are thousands of contagious diseases in the world that spread rapidly. This one doesn't spread rapidly, they tell us. And you can't be 100% ready every day, but you got to be pretty good ready, and I think we're pretty good ready. And we're learning as we go along, and we're doing the job. Now, and this, I think, is absolutely wrong. It's become a black issue because the man who came from where, Liberia or someplace, he came, and he was a black man who got sick. The first time he went to the hospital, they missed it. He had a temperature. They sent him home, and then he came back, and he died. Now it's become a black issue. I'm hearing this all day on television from those people who are generally active in promoting Afro-American rights. And they're saying, well, this is a black issue. He was turned away from the hospital because he was black. Everything is not a black issue in this country. I can't conceive, and I'm an ultra-liberal, I admit it, I cannot conceive of a hospital turning away a sick man who has a contagious disease, they believe, because he's black and he doesn't have insurance and they don't want to deal with him. They're sending him out into the community to infect hundreds of people. It doesn't make sense. They've got to stop. The black organizations have to stop making every issue a black issue. It's a waste of time sometimes, and it's a waste of time with regard to this incident. Now, I want to stay with Ebola for a moment. The people who are working with those sick with Ebola, you see they have to wear these contamination suits. They're covered from head to toe. It looks like something that our astronauts wore when they went to the moon or in the spaceships that we send up there. However, it is recognized. This is interesting. I don't know if you're aware of this. I just picked up on it today. It's recognized by our government, by our president, President Obama, that there is need for a better protection suit. It's called a hazmat suit, H-A-Z-M-A-T. The problem really is the present suit protection, adequate protection. The problem, my friends, is that it's very warm. It does not have a proper cooling system, not only for the body, but especially for the face. So the United States government, per the directive of President Obama, together with certain other federal agencies, is offering $1 million for a better suit design by some date in December. And the key to this suit design is that it should provide better protection and, most importantly, a portable cooling technology that will work effectively. A portable cooling technology. We can't have our nurses and doctors and everyone else involved taking these face masks off and everything else because it's got too warm and they've got to breathe. They need some fresh air. We've got to come up with a better suit. So this suit must be ready by some date in December, and whoever designs that suit, and that suit is selected, will receive $1 million. And whatever the order is or the plan is that suit must be manufactured and available within 2 months of December. So what we're looking at, and the government will enforce the two-month deadline, this article says that I read, we're not going to get the suit till March at the earliest. In the meantime, though, people shouldn't panic because the present suits do work if people put them on and take them off the right way. We're only getting a better suit, but that is in the works, and I think you should know about it. And where was the publicity on this today? Where was the publicity on this yesterday? It hasn't been there. Why? I don't know. That's something that is newsworthy. Let's go to Italy. Let's go to medical marijuana. They have medical marijuana in Italy also. Well, they've got a problem. It ain't working. Medical marijuana is not selling in Italy. And the reason why, and they've had this for a year, by the way, Italy passed the law last year saying medical marijuana is legal and pharmacies are the ones who carry it. And it's very easy to get if you have a prescription from the doctor. The problem is very few people are using those prescriptions because of the cost factor. Cost, money. This is an interesting story. It costs 10 times as much to buy the pot, the marijuana, in a pharmacy than to buy a bag on the street of a similar amount from a drug dealer. 10 times as much, basically, for the same pot in the drugstore than on the street from a drug dealer. Said another way, it costs 38 euros a gram to buy it in the pharmacy, and it's only 5 euros if you purchase it illegally on the street. Said another way, if a doctor prescribes medical marijuana and gives you a prescription, It will cost €1,000, not dollars, €1,000 a month, which is roughly $1,300 in American money, $1,300 a month. That's not affordable. There's no insurance coverage, by the way, in Italy. Italy has free medical for everything, for everybody, but for medical marijuana, there is no insurance coverage. I can't tell you why. I don't know. But they don't have it, and it costs $1,300 a month if you need it, and people don't have the coverage, so they are not buying it. That's the problem. So the government has come up with a plan. They're going to have a pilot program. It's going to run and be operated in Florence, and it's going to be operated by the Italian Army. The Italian Army in Florence, as part of this pilot plan, is going to grow marijuana to be used for medical purposes and then to use it and use it in some distribution system so it will not be costly. Now, why does it cost so much? It's not the pharmacy that is ripping off the people in Italy. It could be the pharmaceutical houses. We know they rip us off in this country. I have spent much time, as most of you are aware, in Italy the last few years. I'm very familiar with Italy. And if you're over there, everyone blames the mafia for everything. They still have a mafia for real in Italy, and it's big time and scary, like our mafia was in the 1920s and the 1930s. It's still big time. They control. They are involved in everything from the government down to the simplest thing on the streets. And what they did, apparently, is when medical marijuana became legal, they got involved in the growing and sale of it to the pharmacies, the distribution, and they put the big dollar number on the euro number on the pot. So that's why it's happening. The government's going to let the army try to do it. They have a screwed up mess, and it's really a shame. Because one of the glories of Italy, there are glories yet involved with Italy, is the free medical. Everyone gets free medical in Italy, and has for years. And this means free drugs, except it did not apply to medical marijuana. I want to talk about the banks for a moment, and a particular banker, Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon. We all know Jamie Dimon. He's the CEO for J.P. Morgan Chase. J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the big banks that brought us the 2008 recession, the mortgage screwing around, making bundling the mortgages, making them stocks, selling them around. The ones that brought this financial disaster to the country, he's the CEO and has been at one of the major banks. Well, there's a $70 trillion problem. Isn't it nice we talk about money in such big numbers today? And Jamie Dimon's concerned about a $70 trillion problem affecting banks worldwide. Okay? And the problem, what is it? It's shadow banking. If you recall, I spoke of shadow banking last week. You know, the banks now are de-risking. They want only the very best customers. And, for example, they said to porn stars, we won't handle your money anymore, okay? Well, and I told you last week, I shared with you, that these people do find a bank because you need a checking account. You need a bank. There is a shadow banking industry. It's legal. It's not illegal. But it's not subject to any restrictions. It costs a little extra money. But it's come into play because this is one of the reasons. They don't want to handle everybody's money, today's banks. And the banks, if you recall, have not been loaning money. We gave them all the bailout money and everything else. You can't get a loan. Main Street is still getting screwed while Wall Street is getting richer. Well, our friend Jamie Dimon spoke recently. And by the way, too big to fail, too big to prosecute. He's one of the bankers that should have been prosecuted and was not. He spoke recently at a financial meeting in Washington, D.C. He said the biggest problem facing the banks today is shadow banking because that's not really bank lending, which reminds me of the credit unions. When I got out of law school in 1960 and set up a practice, the banks were beating up on the credit unions. The credit unions are going to fail. They're going to steal people's money because the credit unions were just coming into vogue, okay? Well, and they were competition. And the banks don't like competition. They want to take care of all the money. And look at how the credit unions have succeeded and the great good they have done for their customers over the years, and would never at cheaper rates than a bank, and would never have existed had the banks won out back in the 1960s. Anyhow, the problem is no one's paying attention, Diamond said, to this shadow banking industry, and it's getting bigger. It's $70 trillion. And again, it's people who can't borrow through the normal banks. They go to the shadow bankers, which is legal, by the way. This isn't somebody sitting in the back room of a restaurant, and you go and you sit with them. You say, I want to borrow $1,000, and he says, okay, it's going to cost you $100 a day interest. This is normal banking with a little bit higher interest rate. And this is where the porn stars go, and this is where business people are going today. The small businessman who needs a loan, he can't get it from his bank. He's now doing business with shadow banks. Again, $70 trillion a year worldwide. It's simple. Why the shadow banking? They're providing a service. The real banks are complaining because they don't like the competition and they're losing the money. They want that money back in their banks. They're the ones who tossed that money out in the first instance. And they're aware that the shadow bankers are getting bigger and bigger every day. I say the bank, Jamie Dimon, and the banks can't have it both ways. They can't say on the one hand we won't loan money out because we're afraid to the business people of America. We're not going to loan out money for home mortgages to a lot of people. They can't say we don't want to do business with the porn stars. We don't want to do business with the Muslim students in this country. We don't want to do business with the gun dealers because it's not politically correct. You want to be a bank? You got to do business with everybody. You're supposed to. I thought you were supposed to. Apparently not. And so when someone fails to provide a service, someone else will pop up who will provide that service, and that is what's happening in the banking industry. Let's go over to London. Interesting thing happened in London recently. How would you like it if you're walking down a street and you see a sign? You're a woman, and you're walking down a street in London, and you see a sign that says, women can only walk on this side of the street. Women can only walk on this side of the street. That sounds sort of Muslim, doesn't it? Well, here's what happened in London. And it wasn't a Muslim group, by the way. If it was a Muslim group, you would have heard about this. You didn't hear about it in the national media and the international media because it wasn't a Muslim group. It was a Jewish group. Here's what happened. They were having in London, in a district called Hackney, Stamford Hill in Hackney in London, England, a Jewish organization called Shamrim, Shomrim, was having some sort of a religious festival or streets, something going on the street for several days. And the Shomrim organization put up a sign on the several blocks involved. There's going to be a Torah procession in preparation for the Torah procession. And the sign in English said, quote, women should please walk along this side of the road only, unquote. Women should please walk along this side of the road only, unquote. And then above it was, in Jewish script, was the name of the organization and the event. Well, some people got upset. Not the Jewish women, and not the Jewish men, but the people living in Stamford Hill, Hackney neighborhood of London. They got upset, the people who lived in this area, who weren't Jewish, and they said, what is this? This is wrong. You should take down those posters. We don't care what your religion is or what. Women and men should be able to walk on both sides of the streets. And you can't do this. Very simple. They were upset, okay? Well, The Shamrim organization took down the signs, got to give them credit, and they said, here's what we're going to do next year so we offend fewer people or no people. We're going to put the same sign back up, but instead of putting it in English, women please walk along this side of the street only, it's going to be in Jewish script. It's going to be in Hebrew, okay? That's still wrong. It's not right. And I'm going to tell you this. Had this been a Muslim organization, the newspapers would have picked up on it, the TV, they would have been blasting the organization worldwide. But because it was a different group, a Jewish group, they did not. And that in and of itself is wrong. If we're going to hear about one, we should hear about the other. That's all. Okay. We're going to talk about global warming. Now, I haven't talked about global warming in a long time. But actually, I'm going to talk about walruses. Some of you may be aware of what I'm going to share with you. Walruses. There are 35,000 walruses presently sitting on a beach on the northern coast of Alaska. 35,000 walruses. Note that some of these walruses weigh 4,000 pounds. They're grouped, okay? They're grouped sitting next to each other on the northern coast of Alaska, shoulder to shoulder. Now, why are they there? Well, the reason is normally at this time of the year, they would be on ice floats, okay? They'd be living on ice floats, and periodically they drop into the water and they eat snails and clams, and then they go back on the ice float and do whatever they do. There ain't no ice floats anymore up there, not where these walruses used to go, and we don't have the ice floats, and you know why. Because of global warming that corporate America does not want to acknowledge, and the ice is melted. There's nothing for these people to live on, to play on. And they're not eating right, because where they are, there ain't enough snails or clams. They got to go further north for what they were eating. So they now have an unnatural existence, the walruses. Will they survive? How many will not? It's just not right. It's time to get serious about global warming, and this is an example of what happens. Think about last year. Last year it was the polar bears, this year the walruses. The polar bears have the same problems. They live on the ice floats. There are not, I'm not going to say there aren't any, but there are not enough ice floats. They are now landbound like the walruses. They're hungry. They're not able to eat fish anymore. Now they're chasing rabbits. They're hungry, because they don't have the food they normally eat, and they're spreading now inland. What are they going to survive? Are they going to attack humans? What's going to happen? All because of global warming. Someday this crap about global warming is going to affect you and me directly, and I hope it isn't too late by that time to do something about it. Interesting topic here. A war makes money for certain businesses, no question about it. The military-industrial complex makes a ton of money. And in recent years, it hasn't been too good because we were pulling our men out of Iraq. We were closing down. You know, we were closing down all over the Middle East, Afghanistan, every place else. And so we needed less and less and less military supplies. And the stock of the major military industrial corporations has gone down, down, and down. Well, now we're back over there in Iraq. We're screwing around in Syria. Things are going to get better. We're going to have boots on the ground someday. We say no, no. In any event, let me tell you who the companies are, the corporations, the American corporations who are making tons of money. They're getting wealthy. The super rich are getting wealthier. And they start. The biggest one is Lockheed. The others are Northrop, Raytheon, General Dynamics, and Boeing. Now, Blackwater is also involved. There ain't no more Blackwater. Blackwater, let's put this in perspective. Cheney's company, I have a mental block, Cheney's company, Halliburton. And that was Cheney's company, and Cheney's still involved with Halliburton. At least he gets money from them. Blackwater was one of their subsidiaries. And what did Blackwater do? Blackwater provided services to the Army. It's like a contractor. We're gonna privatize certain parts of the Army. They'll give protection at the airports. They'll do the cooking. They'll do the cleaning up. They'll do the paperwork. So our soldiers really can soldier. They don't have to do the support staff. And it'll save the government money, which is a crock. No one goes through these numbers, though. And we spent a ton of money on Blackwater. Well, Blackwater got a bad reputation for some things they were doing. So they still the same company with a new name. It's called Academy, A-C-A-D-E-M-I today. They're not even involved into the numbers I'm going to share with you, but they're the other company that's making a ton of money off war. Last year alone, the companies of Lockheed, Northrop, Raytheon, General Dynamics, and Boeing made $105 billion. $105 billion. And this did not include the Blackwater Academy operation. And you can tell how good it is because in the last several months, the stocks of these corporations, these American corporations, has gone through the roof. They're going, the value of their stock is going up every day, up, up, and up, and it's going to continue going higher. The military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about is back in full force and is going to benefit and profit big time by what is going on in the Middle East. Now I'm going to talk about political bigotry. It's interesting, political bigotry. Well, we know Republicans hate Democrats, Democrats hate Republicans, Libertarians hate both parties, Independents don't like anybody. Having said all that, about 2 weeks ago, David Brooks, the great, I think he's a great writer, he's a syndicated columnist for the New York Times, and he had a column on political bigotry. Very interesting. In 1960, 5% of the Republicans and 4% of the Democrats, 5% of the Republicans, 4% of the Democrats said that they would be displeased if their children married someone of the opposite party. Can you imagine? A Republican doesn't want his child to marry a Democrat. Democrats don't want their children to marry Republicans. I think this is stupid and asinine, but it was only 5% and 4% in 1960. By 2010, the numbers had changed, Brooks said. Now 49% of the Republicans and 33% of the Democrats don't want their children to marry children who have an opposite political leaning. No wonder the Democrats and the Republicans can't get along in Congress. This hatred now is into the bloodstream. Everyone's crazy. Everyone's small-minded. I can't believe this. Can you believe it? I buy it, though, because David Brooks is that good, and he writes what is. Let's talk about money for a second and how some people are getting screwed in this country. The United States, our country, leads the developed world. Now, the developed world, depending on who's looks at the countries put in there, is either 23 nations or 90. Whatever. The United States leads the developed world with regard to low-wage jobs. We have the distinction of having the highest percentage of low-wage jobs of any country in the world. Now, isn't that something to be proud of? And this is the 1% and 99% again thing. And where did this study come from that tells us this? Morgan Stanley, in a 50-page report, recently said 25% of the jobs in the United States are low-paying. They are the lowest of any developed country. Wowee. A report like this reflects clearly the death of the middle class and the growth of the banks and the corporations, the oligarchy. They keep stealing and expanding their wealth at a dizzying pace to the detriment of what once used to be the middle class. That's the show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I enjoy preparing this material and sharing it with you, and I hope you enjoy it. I know you enjoy it. You keep coming back, and your numbers grow. I love it. You can read, and I know most of you follow this show when it's archived. So I'm sharing with you again. It's archived. It's run on Facebook, too, and Twitter for forever and ever. I wrote a book. I share that with you again, The World Upside Down. If you like this show, you're going to love my book. If you don't like the show, you'll hate my book. Don't buy it. But if you do like the show, buy the book, The World Upside Down by Louis Petrone, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Goodbye. See you next week.